listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
In today's Set Apart to Serve conversation, we get to continue with lay people and hear their perspective about raising up church workers in our own congregations and why church workers have such a significant place in our lives. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu. Joining us today, Darina Wergau. She is serving in Indiana and on one of the Set Apart to Serve pilot groups. Darina, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us today, John Schmall from Nebraska, also serving on a Set Apart to Serve pilot group. John, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Glad to be here.
So let's...
We're currently in northern Indiana in a small town. My husband is pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church here in Ossian. Most of my life has been spent in Indiana, but we did also spend 7 years at a dual parish in rural Texas. So have a little bit of experience in different places.
Tell us about your congregation and the ways that you've served in your congregation, Darina.
So I teach Sunday school and help with VBS. I love doing stuff with the kids. I'm a mom of five, so it just kind of fits for me to be doing kid stuff. I also help with funeral dinners and volunteer here and there wherever they need me. And our church has a school, and probably my favorite activity is I help at our school's library.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Fun.
Yeah. John, tell us about yourself, your family, where you work, and all of those things.
Born and raised in Baird, Nebraska, where my parents grew up. My grandparents grew up. I'm actually only the third generation American in my family. We're relatively newcomers. I attended college in Lincoln, where I met my wife shortly after we got married. She agreed to return home with me, which is not her birthplace. My wife is a teacher. I work for a crop insurance company by day, and I have a farming hobby on the nights and weekends. We have two children, and that's kind of my family in a nutshell.
And tell us about your congregation and how you've served in your congregation.
I'm privileged and honored to still attend the congregation where I was baptized and confirmed, Mount Calvary Lutheran in Baird, Nebraska. We're a small parish, Western Nebraska, actually the Wyoming district part of Western Nebraska. I've served as the church organist since I was 15. It was one of two, kind of on a part-time thing. And then when I returned home, kind of assumed that full-time, and the other person who was organist sadly died in 2012, as I recall. I'm also the church, my family is also the church janitor. We spent different spats as also the groundskeepers, and I currently serve as the congregational vice president as well.
And you also serve in your district, too.
Yeah, I was elected as a lay rep to our district board. Gosh, I have to several district conventions ago. And most recently, 2 or 3 years ago, I was appointed to be the district treasurer. So that is a little bit of a different deal, elected to one, appointed to the other. So you can have one elected, one appointed in synod. Yeah, so I am appointed at the pleasure of the board each year.
So both of you have shared numerous ways that you serve in your congregation, in your district. You serve the church in a variety of ways. Who set that example or who encouraged you to serve in these ways? Did you have examples when you were younger as a youth? You've been, John, you've been an organist since 15, is that right?
15, yeah.
Who encouraged you to serve in that way in your congregation and all the other ways?
So I'll be honest, I don't know if our organist at the time, very close family friend, and in fact, they had a daughter, her and I are the same age. They actually bought my grandparents' farm. It's a small town thing. I don't know if she saw some sort of interest or some sort of inkling, and her and my mom, who is also a very talented musician, my mom's a wonderful piano player. My family is very musical, singing, and I don't know if they saw something and started me with books. I didn't really take any organ lessons until I went to college and took just a very few, but the pastor would pick hymns for a month. I would pick one hymn a Sunday, and I would practice it till I knew it well enough to play. And by the time that I was a freshman, the organist said, you need to be able to play one full service by yourself. And so I played for several years before that, just one hymn a Sunday. But by the time I was a freshman, I was able to do a complete service. And that's been part of my life now longer than it hasn't. So on Sundays when we're not at our home church and I'm not sitting behind the organ, it's an awkward feeling for me. Honestly, it's very enjoyable. We have many talented organists across the synod, but that's such a part of my Sunday morning. That's where I'm, where I've.
I love that part of your story because I think it at least speaks to me that a lot of times being an organist, you make it, I mean, it is a big and a complex instrument to be sure, but you're just like, I just played the organ. It's just what I do. I love that so much.
Yeah, and I mean, keep in mind, very small church. I mean, when I was growing up, we, you know, maybe 40 to a Sunday right now, in 25 to 30, we're a small dual parish. So, I mean, it's, there's not what I would, you know, I'm by no means a professional. I've had minimal training. There are so many organists, so much better. But I do enjoy it. I like supporting congregational singing, and it's just been part of my church life now for longer than it ever wasn't.
That's fantastic. I love it. Dorina, what about you? Who encouraged you to serve in the variety of ways that you've been able to serve in the church over the years?
Ever since I was a kid, I mean, even before I was a teenager, I just wanted to be involved. I mean, in church stuff and in other stuff, that's just kind of, I'm very extroverted and like to just be part of the team and dive in. I don't remember ever anybody as a kid specifically encouraging me to be involved. It was more like, can I help? Can I help? Can I help? Now I think I get involved a lot because I have a hard time saying no, but I enjoy it. I'm happy to do it. So if there's a need and somebody says, hey, we think you'd be great, would you be willing to do X, Y, Z? I usually say yes.
I think many of us have that problem, gift, not to say no to things, however you'd like to frame that. And speaking of which, you accepted an invitation to serve on the Set Apart to Serve Lay Leader Pilot Project. Why did you accept this? Why was this something that you felt was important for you to be a part of?
I mean, same sort of thing. Our congregation had been one of the pilot congregations, and I appreciated the things that our pastors shared with us in Bible class and so forth. And I thought, well, I'm happy to contribute if there's something I can offer. So. Here I am.
Let's talk about how your congregation involves youth in the life of the congregation, Dorina. Let's talk a little bit about ways that you see youth being encouraged to serve in the congregation.
So a lot of what we do is kind of tied with our school, but we do have a few members who are not students at the school, and they're encouraged to be involved as well. I mean, from a very young age, they're invited to sing. Either for school chapel or the children's choir, I believe is fourth grade and up. They sing occasionally on Sunday morning. And then beginning in fifth grade, the young ladies are trained on how to assist with altar guild, and the young men serve as acolytes and crucifers. And even with smaller commitments like vacation Bible school, I think we go through like fifth or sixth grade for students, and then we encourage the older youth to help out as volunteers. We have a pretty active youth group. They do a lot of social events and so forth, and they do things like serve Sunday morning donuts and make Advent and Lent suppers, that kind of thing.
Do you see these ways that youth are involved and encouraged to serve in their congregation? Do you see that shaping our attitudes and the culture within your congregation about forming future church workers?
Yeah, I think so. I think a big thing it does is it builds habits. So the kids are used to spending time at church outside of Sunday morning, and they feel comfortable doing some of these tasks that to some kids might seem, you know, like altar guild, that might seem like that's an old lady thing or something. But getting them involved young, they see, oh, this is just normal kind of work that really anyone can do. So I think it is positive.
John, let's talk about your involvement in your congregation. How do you see young people being encouraged to serve in the congregation as well?
Well, there probably couldn't be a starker contrast between Dorina's parish and mine. We have five youth under 40, so two of which are my children. So very small, very aging congregation, but we continue to much the same things still have to get done. Someone has to be an usher. Someone has to set up communion. The church still has to be prepared for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening and funerals and weddings and those kinds of things. Light bulbs need, you know, it's maybe it's grunt work, maybe it's not. But I grew up watching the men of the congregation serve in the various ways, whether it was usher, elder, trustee. And so my son, as the one, well, we have now two teenage males, that's what they get to do. Because it is me and my son, one other dad and his son, and our next youngest male active member is nearing 70. So it's we get to do the things, much in the same way with my daughter. She helps on Altar Guild quite a bit. There's a group of admittedly older, wonderful ladies that I've known my entire life. And she is learning and doing and, you know, washing the vessels and changing the paraments and the things that are required even for a small parish to function in its weekly duties. Maybe that's very basic, but that's what we're at the heart of doing. One more thing on that end. One of the few things, especially in a small town when we get outsiders, which we don't get many, is funerals. And we really take the approach that we want our church, the inside, the outside, to look its absolute best, which we should every Sunday, but there's a little extra care taken, much like when guests come over to your home. And everybody pitches in to make sure that the building is well prepared, the service is well organized and planned. It's a small church physically, and oftentimes funerals fill beyond capacity. So younger members, my son included, all members really, whether it's helping usher, set up chairs, set up tables, take down tables, we can fit a finite number of people in our fellowship hall. And oftentimes that means you get your plate, you sit down, you eat. We're there waiting when you've eaten your last fork. We take your plate and fork so we can wash it and put it back out and ask you to go outside because there's more people coming. It's all of those very basic day-to-day things. I did and still am forcing both of my children to be able to play a keyboard. So I gave them their option for taking piano lessons. They could quit when they either left my home or were able to play a full divine service. They never had to play, but they have to have the ability to play. So that's my attempt to kind of put at least two more potential accompanists back out into the synod as well.
Interesting goals.
It's like
that. That was, yeah, about middle school when my son got there, he thought he was going to be able to be done with piano. And I kind of drew my line in the sand and we discussed and that was the line. So everybody's adhered to it so far.
We are in our Set Apart to Serve conversation today, talking with John Schmall and Darina Wergau. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are in our Set Apart to Serve conversation, talking about the culture of our congregations and forming church workers for the future. We're talking with John Schmall in Nebraska and Darina Wergau in Indiana, learning about their involvement in their congregation and what life looks like in their congregation, especially that culture of forming future church workers. What have you both learned through your involvement in your Set Apart to Serve pilot? Darina, we'll start with you. What have you been learning through your involvement in the Set Apart to Serve pilot program?
What I've learned personally, I guess, is what resources are available. I started browsing on the Synod's website, looking at all the resources, and I expected to find three or four things, maybe some flyers or pamphlets, and there's a lot on there. Not all of it is going to apply to everybody, but it's definitely worth peeking at and seeing what might be useful for your congregation, because there's things for kind of everybody. So,
what are some things that have been useful for you and your congregation?
I personally haven't implemented anything, but what I thought would be especially helpful is some of the information that explains what different church workers do. Even though we're blessed at our congregation, we have several deaconesses who are members and a deaconess who serves here. We have a cantor, we have a vicar, we have field workers, we have two pastors. Even so, just to be able to read through, oh, this is what, for example, a DCE does or something like that, that we don't have direct experience with. And just to have it all laid out, these are the church work positions, this is the training they require, where they can go to school. I thought that was very helpful.
John, what have you learned in being a part of the Set Apart to Serve pilot?
I'll echo Dorina's comments about the resources. I'd also clicked and expected, you know, a couple handfuls, probably some geared for a smaller church and some probably for a larger. There's a multitude and not all do apply, but I think all can be taken and fit into a context. Very small parish, very small district. I think the Wyoming is maybe the smallest or second smallest district by membership. We have just a few schools. I think only one or two churches, maybe with more than one pastor, many, many pastors serving multi-point parishes. But I feel pretty strongly that every young man should at least explore the possibility of the pastoral ministry. Not everyone is built for it. Not everyone is called to it, certainly. But if you don't even know how to begin that discerning process, how do you even know? And when my children are, you know, I have one that is going to graduate and a daughter who is still in high school, the many, many vocations that are out there and the need that we have and will continue to have in however that looks in that particular geography. You know, they have deaconesses and DCEs and vicars. And I mean, it's there's church workers, you know, every corner. We have, you know, a few, but we still have to have them. We still have to have them. And the Lord will provide, always has and always will. But we need to make sure that everybody is aware what's out there, how it's achieved. You know, what are the nuts and bolts? You want to be a deaconess, a parish nurse. And maybe you're a parish nurse for a circuit out in my part of the world. Probably not one parish be able to manage a parish nurse or a deaconess, but a circuit might. How does that look? What is the training required? Where do you have to go? How can we as your parish and or your circuit provide some support, both with prayers, both with money, both with ideas? There's a lot out there, and it's easy to not be aware of the broad range of church work possibilities.
Dorina, talk a little bit about the divine service. You mentioned the kids are pretty heavily involved in the divine service. How do you see the divine service, the liturgy, the being a part of that rhythm of Sunday morning? How is that important for formation as church workers?
I would say anything that's going to help form a potential church worker is something that all Christians need. We chiefly want to form Christian children, right? Or encourage Christian children. So primarily, we should make sure that they're in the divine service. We'd love for them to be involved in other ways, but for them to be in church on Sunday, to receive the gifts, that's number one. And if the kids are able to get involved somehow, then that's a way that they can serve. Like John was saying, sometimes there's really a need that we need the kids involved because somebody has to do the job, but it also gives them, like I mentioned before, it builds those habits that church is where I belong and where I can serve, whether they continue to do that as a full-time church worker or whether they are just an active layperson, then planted that seed and built that habit.
I think you mentioned in a Set Apart to Serve pilot meeting, you talked about watching for signs, you know, looking for signs that that youth are interested in what's happening in church when it comes to the divine service, their love for the liturgy. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and maybe what you shared in that meeting?
Yeah, so it's really fun when you see a kid who's very openly enthusiastic about, for example, hymns or the liturgy, or really curious about what pastor is doing or asking lots of questions about the church year. And this can be really little kids or older kids. And I get to see it a lot, especially as a Sunday school teacher. But some kids, the enthusiasm is clear on their face, like just sitting in the pew. And I think it's great for the adults to encourage that and to acknowledge that and not every young person who is enthusiastic about church is going to be a church worker, but we could plant those seeds. You know, you really love hymns. Maybe you should learn to play the organ. Or I can see that you are very thoughtful and caring for other people. You know, you help hold someone's hand while they were walking or whatever it is. Did you know a deaconess can sometimes do that sort of work? Maybe that's something you could think about.
Tell us more about those conversations that can happen in your church among the variety of church workers that your church is blessed to have. What are some of those conversations that you've been able to witness or even have with the children in your church, Dorina?
In my experience, it's just been really small things. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate or planned out, just spontaneous. You notice something or you're chatting with someone, kind of the examples I already gave. We also have had opportunities. We had like a deaconess come and explain about her particular work and what she does. And she ended her presentation by saying, I hope all of you will prayerfully consider maybe church work would be something for you. And it wasn't, you know, calling out any individuals. It was just, I'll pray for you and I hope that you all think about it. And that was all, but I think that was enough.
John, where do you see the place of mentoring in the life of the church? I know your church is small, but there's, I imagine, still mentoring types of conversations that happen in your congregation and also throughout your district.
Absolutely. Whether it's by, you know, design or choice or sometimes by duty, and I'm fine with all three, by the way, there's a lot of things we do out of duty and there's nothing wrong with that. It's important to learn the things. Dorina, I loved your comments about children who light up when they learn about the liturgy, the church year, the hymns. My children are 15 and 17, and maybe I've passed on my kind of liturgical geekiness to them, but we'll get done with church. And I mean, my 15 and 17 year old children will comment on the profoundness of a certain hymn. And we go and look and it's, you know, from the late 800s, we have such a way to connect to across time and space within Christianity with our hymnody. And that doesn't even start to talk about our Lutheran hymns from the 16th and 17th century there. Using that connection, because I agree 100%, being in the divine service, and that's across ages. Nothing warms my heart more than on a Sunday morning when after the sermon and we stand to sing the offertory and not a person, not an old person, not a young person, opens up their hymnal because they don't need to. And I get to sit in the back and I have the pleasure of looking at that. And in their own way, without even knowing it, the members of my church that have sang that now their entire life have mentored my children, the other children, in the roles, in the duties, in the things that are needed. And that is the very foundation and groundwork laid to get future church workers. Whether that's, you know, they're going to go from high school to college into full-time church work, maybe that's a second step with a little bit of luck and a whole lot of prayer. My daughter might marry a pastor and be a pastor's wife in whatever capacity that is. So it's a small synod, so I have strong hopes there. But it's the mentoring part is huge, and it doesn't stop. My dad has been active in our church my entire life. His dad was before him. I learn from my own father every day, and I'm 44.
I think you both have brought up a great point that whether it's parents or other adults in the congregation, actually both, being involved in the lives of young people in our congregation certainly makes a big difference in how they perceive their place in their congregation and in the church. Very valuable. Our guest today, John Schmall, serving his church, his congregation and community in Nebraska and a part of the Set Apart to Serve pilot group there. Thanks so much, John, for being a part of the Coffee Hour today.
My pleasure.
And Dorina Wergau, serving in Indiana in her congregation and with the Set Apart to Serve pilot there. Dorina, thanks so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.